So these are values that we have maintained for some time, but I thought it was important that we revisited them. And so today is the fifth one of our six values, which is truth. And they look like that on our webpage: relationship, community, worship, understanding, and this one is the fifth one, which is truth. And if you go to our website, everyone's got a definition, everyone's linked to an MP3 explaining what they mean. These are things that we consider to be important to who we are. You see, it's easy to have a statement of belief. What we say on our website is the Evangelical Alliance has a great statement of belief, and we like it. You know, if you want to know what our statement of belief is, it's the Evangelical Alliance's statement of belief, because we're members of it as a church, and we value the work that the EA does for us. And as a church, you know, we're members of Ground Level, we've got a relationship with ICTHUS, and locally we are part of the One Voice group, which we met this week for breakfast together, and we won't be meeting again till September, but the rest of the year we meet every Wednesday morning to pray for an hour for our city and the ministers and leaders of ministries in the city of York. And this is all very important to us. We think it's important that we have relationship and that everything we do is out of relationship, but that isn't the only thing that matters to us. So today, what I want to ask you is, what is truth? I rather like this quote. It's an anonymous quote, but when an honest man discovers he is mistaken, he will either cease being mistaken or cease being honest. And when you think about that, we get lots of examples of that in the media, don't we? So what is truth? Well, there is such a thing as absolute truth.
You don't know what you believe anymore.
In these days in which we live, people say there isn't such a thing as absolute truth. Now, I find this very difficult, because if you have been arrested for a criminal offence and have gone to jail, you do rather hope that absolute truth exists, because if it doesn't, why are you being put away? You know, we say a lot of things about absolute truth, and one thing that people say is there is no such thing as an absolute in our society in which we live today. Of course, when you say that, you are stating an absolute. When you're saying there is no such thing as an absolute, what you're saying is that's an absolute. So obviously there are some absolutes. And I think that truth hasn't changed. I mean, that truth is still an absolute. Either you're making it up or it's true. Now, your truth can be from your perspective, in the sense that if we all saw an accident and we were giving our report back to the police, I might say, well, I saw it from over here, and from here, this is what happened. Now, what I'm telling is the truth. But from there, I might not be able to see what Karen could see over there. And so different perspectives are valuable, but it doesn't mean that anything I say is any less the truth. And when it comes to Jesus, well, I don't think that you can say that Jesus is true for you. He's either true or he's a liar. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ said some things that we believe, and people have gone to the gallows, people have gone to the guillotine, people have gone to a cross of their own, and people have been butchered. They have suffered terribly because of what Jesus said. Now, either what Jesus said is true and these people are really remarkable for holding on to the truth, or they were stupid and Jesus is a liar. It can't be something in between. It cannot be. Either Jesus is the truth or Jesus isn't the truth. And Jesus said this very unequivocally. I remember having a teacher when I was at primary school. I'd just become a Christian. And I suppose he was reacting to the changes in my life. But he was all the time trying to tell me Jesus didn't exist. What Jesus said in the Bible, someone's made that up. And he would get me with my head against the wall and tell me to my face, Stephen, you need to walk away from this. It's rubbish. It's going to ruin your life. Of course, actually, in the dinner time, his wife was a dinner lady, and she would say to me, don't listen to that man. He's an idiot. And it was wonderful, really. You know, his wife was a believer. She was a Baptist. And her husband was an atheist. But all the time he would try and drill this into me. But you know something? One of the first Bible verses I ever read was this. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And these three things have guided my life. And thank God that they have. Because the truth is, Jesus is the truth. And you know, when it comes down to it, what Jesus said has been life-changing for billions of people. There are more Christians alive in the world today than all of the Christians that have died in history. That's because the church has gone through a dramatic period of growth in the last 100 years. What was largely a Western phenomenon has declined a bit in the West, but has grown phenomenally in the rest of the world. There are something like 2.3 billion people who believe that Jesus is the truth. And what we are here to do today is not to sing some pretty songs and announce a jumble sale. We are here today to tell you that Jesus Christ is the truth. And it's the truth that all of us need to hear. And it's the truth that changes our lives. Now, the truth is something which we generally define, this positive thing, by defining a negative thing. We define the truth by telling you what a lie is, in general. When you are describing what the truth is, you define it by explaining to people what isn't the truth. And in a way, I think that's a shame. But you know something, the older I get, the more I define the truth by the person that the truth is. The truth is a person. The truth is Jesus. And all the rest of this is posturing. It's all words. But Jesus is the truth. And he has so much to teach us and help us, to help us get on in life. The truth is more than just honesty. Thank God for honesty. It should be something that we try to teach ourselves. It's something that Jesus tries to teach us. Being honest is a really good characteristic. But it's more than just honesty. It's more like a lifestyle. When we know the truth will set us free. And that way we can live a lifestyle of truth. And I think that's also very important. Concealing what is private is not deception. Someone once said to me, when people come to you and tell you things, do you just blab about it? I said, no, I don't. People tell me things in
confidential.
Thank you very much. In confidentiality, I keep it confidential. But it's not deceiving someone to not tell you what they've said to me. That's not a lie when I don't tell you. What I am doing is concealing something that is private. It's something that nobody has a right to know. God knows it. I've been told it. The person who told me knows it. No one else should know. And we mustn't get our definitions all mixed up with certain things. And sometimes people will say, oh, well, blah, 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 that proves you're a liar. Well, it doesn't prove that. When we make something up, if we become evangelistic with the truth, that's dishonest. But other stuff is just a matter of concealing what is private, and that is a virtue, my friends. It's not a deception. In fact, a culture of openness as a church helps us to be a people of truth. So when someone tells us something in confidence, we keep that private. But otherwise, why do we need to keep stuff private? A culture of openness in the church helps us be a people of truth. And let me encourage you to think about how openness might help you. Now, Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says this: God's wrath, which is something I don't want to know much about. I don't want to experience God's wrath. Jesus came to deliver us from the wrath of his Father, right? For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Being dishonest is wrong. Suppressing the truth so that other people can't get at it, so other people can't experience it, so people can't know it. There's something very insidious about that. And we need to recognise that God does not look well on people who suppress the truth. It's important that we are honest to God and honest to people that need to hear. It goes on a few verses and it says this: they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served something created instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. When we exchange God's truth for a lie, we are walking into a minefield. You know that there's just been this wonderful piece of paper signed between the Russians and the Ukrainians this week, that they are going to allow the export of Ukraine grain. There's lots of benefits in doing that, but there's a problem. The Russians have mined the waters outside the ports. So the signature is to say that the Russians will lead these boats carrying grain out and take them past the mines. And, you know, when this war eventually is finished, it's going to take possibly a couple of years to clear the mines out of there and make things work again. There's a lot more going on here than we may automatically realise. But it's important that we recognise that the truth of God is something that we have to allow access to. We have to allow it out. You know, nobody is going to tell people the truth of God other than the people of God. People are not going to find out. Recently, I was involved in a group and we were talking to some councillors in the city of York, and they basically didn't have the faintest idea about what happens, why the church does things. They didn't understand at all. And we offered to do some training for them. And, you know, I don't know whether this is going to come off or not, but we live in an age where people do not recognise the virtue of the church or what the church is trying to do. And they just believe what they've heard on the BBC or something like that. They just listen to rumour and hearsay. And we need to educate people. Just as I often use this as an example, but a few years ago, I was talking to this lady at a bus stop, and her little daughter, she was telling me was in the nativity play. And so I bent down to the daughter, I said, "So, what's your baby called in this nativity play?" You know, I was hoping she was going to say Jesus, and she said, "Michael." And I thought to myself, well, this is a problem, isn't it? Kids at school do not realise who the baby is. Unless they have engaged themselves with the truth, it's a real issue to us. And when we exchange the truth of God for a lie, then everything goes downhill very, very quickly. We need to recognise that God's truth is life-changing and engage with that truth. Ephesians 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, let's grow in every way into him who is the head. Now, have you ever met somebody who doesn't understand this verse? They come up to you and they say, "Well, Bill, that's a terrible haircut." They say things that it may be true. I don't know. I mean, I think it's all right. It's as good as mine. But, you know, there are ways of telling people the truth. Have you thought of looking for a different barber sometime, Bill? Now, you see, you can get around the subject. Now, I don't mean that, because Bill's haircut's absolutely fine. But, you know, there are ways of telling the truth. And when you tell the truth in love, that is what makes it acceptable. If you just go around telling too much truth, it can be very, very offensive. Let's just remember to speak the truth to people out of a motivation of love and not just to cause a fuss. Truth in worship, truth in witness, truth in fellowship, these are all important things. You know, when we worship today, were we worshipping in truth? Or was it just, "Oh, I know this song, sing along"? It's got to be a question of us expressing our hearts to God. When we're talking to people about Jesus, we should tell them the truth. You know, there's so much you can get through to somebody when you say to them, "How are you?" And they say, "Well, actually, I'm a bit rubbish at the moment." "How are you? Are you feeling depressed?" "Yeah, I'm on some pills." And, "Well, you know, I was like that. But then Jesus did something in my life." "What do you mean by that?" "Well, it becomes a conversation. And by telling the truth, we connect with people and we are able to truthfully share Christ. Truth in fellowship." You know, next Sunday, most of us, I think, are going to Karen's. I shall certainly be there. And we are going to have a truthful time together. Now, no one's going to go around the room and say, "Right, Margaret, tell us something true that no one else knows." Have you ever been in a room when someone did that? It's absolutely horrible, isn't it? It's absolutely horrible. I have a set of things to answer in situations like that. The first one I say is, "I once played Captain Kirk in a stage production of Star Trek." And people don't know what to say to that. They think, "Oh, good grief, he's a Trekkie. Oh, no. God help us. Let's move on to the next person." So, you know, I have ways of dealing with these things. But when we speak truth to each other, it's an important value to have. And do you know what? If somebody gets the point that you can be depended on to speak the truth to them, they'll ask you. They'll ask you, because that is a gift. So, as a church, this is our policy that comes out of this value. We will never deliberately cover anything up unless it would be improper to reveal it. Yeah? So, that which we have been told in confidence remains in confidence unless there are legal reasons or risk to anyone else. And there are times when we are under the laws of this land and we sometimes have to reveal things, but you will always be told if that's the case, don't worry. We will not do anything deliberately to cause any risk to anyone. Okay. We encourage all the church to live in the truth of the gospel, that Jesus has died for our sins, has risen from the dead to bring us life, and he will soon return to take us to a place he has prepared for us, which is also part of the reading that Bill brought us today. When the disciples asked about this to Jesus, he was talking about, I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that is the part of the truth of the gospel. And Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armour of God. And it particularly says, put the truth like a belt around your waist. Well, here is the breakthrough of understanding this verse, people. The truth holds your pants up. Now, I'm losing a little bit of weight at the moment. It's only a little bit. But I put on a pair of shorts the other day and I walked downstairs, and when I got down the stairs, they were around my ankles. Now, I am really pleased about that because they were tight a couple of months ago. So I'm quite pleased about that. But I had to go upstairs and put the belt of truth on. I had to put a belt on to keep them up. But you know what? If you speak the truth, it will save you from being exposed in public. Think about that. Okay. 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 6. God, our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants you to know the truth. He wants you to live in the truth. He wants you to live with his Son, who is the truth. Truth is not only like a light that dispels darkness, but it also reveals and lights up our lives. Remember Psalm 119, I think it's verse 108 off the top of my head. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, the word of God will show us a little bit ahead. We may not see down the path, but we can see where to take the next step. And that's very, very important. And when we allow the truth to become dominant in our lives, we become lighthouses that keep other people off the rocks. Okay, as ever, the first point is always the longest. So, integrity is my second point today. Now, this is a C.S. Lewis quote. And this is a really powerful quote. Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. Do you do the right thing when people watch, and not when they're not watching? Well, that's the definition of integrity, when you do the right thing when no one's watching. Very powerful thought. So Titus 2, verses 7 to 8 says this. Set an example of good works yourself with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us. This is self-evident, but it's so powerful. People love the word dignity these days, but integrity is one of those words that people say has been removed from the dictionary, so you quickly go and look it up and you find it's there and they go, ah, got you. But you know, integrity is not something that is modelled for us by our political leaders. Integrity is not something that people seem to be proud of. It's almost that they're embarrassed of it. Well, we should be people who are pleased to have integrity. Psalm 51 verse 6, you desire integrity in the inner self. It's what God wants, people. Don't be in any doubt, God wants you to be people of integrity. Integrity is a lifestyle of truth where Christ, the truth, lives out his truth within us so the world can see as we do, as Christ does, and that our word is good. That there is consistency in our lives. It's so important to be consistent as Christians. If people don't know what you will do because you are so inconsistent, that's the image they will get of God. People need to know that we are trustworthy because our God is too. 1 John 3:18, little children, we must not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Here's the point, people. When you live a life of truth, you are demonstrating the love of God. And you may not make naturally the connection between love and truth, but actually, love gives birth to truth. And if we really love people, we really need to live a life of truth. This is a t-shirt I saw once. A shirt hereby certified that the wearer of this shirt is real and not a hologram or mirage. Certificate of authenticity. It's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. Authenticity. Authenticity is another one of those words, if you really colour people, they will struggle to define for you. If you find an old painting in your loft, you may take it to an expert to have it checked. If it's an old master, it must be authenticated. If it's an old fake, we also need to know that. I don't know if you remember, I think it was just before COVID, a young lad took a painting on Antiques Roadshow. And they went absolutely balmy. This is a real old master. And the kid just wanted to know if it were worth a couple of hundred quid. Of course, it was worth a lot more than that. But you have to have it authenticated. It's got to know whether it's true, whether or not it has the value that you maybe claim for it. Our worship must be like that. Our worship should be authentic. Our praying should be authentic. You know, I've got a little booklet. I've been reorganising my books since the office move. And I'm not quite finished, but I'm nearly there. But I was sorting out one the other day by Carl Tinian, an old friend of mine. It's a prayer book that he wrote. Absolutely wonderful. Very, very good. But our prayers shouldn't just be something that someone else wrote. They should be the expression of our hearts to God. Now, if you've got something that someone else wrote that does that for you, I'm fine with that. But we need to remember that it should be our prayers to God that he hears. And that is very important. Our theology should be authentic. Our teaching should be authentic. You know, we make this big deal. Our prime value as a church is it's all about relationship. Well, we go all the way through. Our theology is relational. You know, so many things, that it's got to be authentic. We shouldn't have one thing that we say and another thing that we believe. It should be consistent. And the teaching that we give should be authentic. I don't think it's good enough that we just say something that we read in a book. It needs to be, this is what we believe, this is consistent with the teaching of this church, and our love, our compassion, our willingness to help, all of these should be authentic too. Have you ever watched anybody perform an act of kindness with gritted teeth? I have. And you think, why have you bothered? You know, really, our kindness, our willingness to help, our compassion, it all needs to be authentic. It needs to be something where we're demonstrating the truth of God in our lives. Truth leads us to the word accountability. You remember this sign, the book stops here. Was it on Truman's desk? Or one of the post-war American presidents? It was on his desk, the book stops here. And accountability stops with us, because the scripture says that we will all give account of ourselves to God. And it's important that if we are the real thing, then accountability must be a key factor. We believe that there's only one person who doesn't need to be accountable to anybody, and that's God himself. The rest of us are accountable to God. And it's important that we recognise that living the truth should mean that we are accountable to God. And that's why we believe in being part of a relational structure, because there is such a thing as relational accountability. I thank God for the people that I make myself accountable to them through relationship. And I think that's a very powerful thing. Very important. I remember a senior minister in the Church of England in this city once saying to me, "Stephen, your accountability is much greater than mine." He says, "I can dodge the bishop for 12 months, but you can't dodge the people that you're accountable to." And I think, you know, that's something that we should consider to be important. So we will all stand before God, but that doesn't mean that we can do what we want in church. But there is a lot of grace. And we aren't here to slap people around a bit, to tell them they're bad. We're not here to get on people's cases. There's a lot of grace. But we also need to understand that being accountable means that we ought to do things right. It's important that we should. So Romans 14 verse 10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. It is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will give praise to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. I thank God that I believe he loves me. I thank God that I believe I am forgiven. I thank God for his tender mercies. But when I read this scripture, I'm a bit shaky inside, because I will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. And however you want to describe this and however you want to talk it about it, it is not going away. We will all stand before God. Therefore, it ought to govern how we live, and it ought to release truth in our lives. I will leave it there. So, this is the fifth value on our list of six values, and this is what it says on our website. Truth. We value truth, honesty, integrity, and authenticity. Jesus, the truth, sets us free and lights up our lives. We value the truth of the Bible. We want our worship to be authentic. We aim to live our lives with integrity and so speak honestly to each other. We believe in personal and corporate accountability, which are never to be feared if you have strong relationships based on truth. And that's the summary of our value. And I would say to you, whatever your position on faith, that's a good value to have. I honestly think it is. And when we lift up values like this, it's not because we're trying to make life hard for ourselves. Because you might say, "Oh, I think that might be difficult." Well, it isn't if you start by telling the truth today. If you start by living the truth today. If you start by living with integrity today, then that isn't a problem. You might say, "Well, but I lived so many years so differently." Well, we've all done that. What we need to do is make a decision today to live in the truth. Do you understand that with me? Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for revealing your truth to us. We thank you for the many people in this city that maybe go to different brands of church, but these people also value the truth. We thank you, Father, for friends and accountability partners who value the truth. We thank you, Father, that most of all, that you introduce us to truth and that you give us your truth. And we cannot thank you enough for that. So God, we just ask you now, help us to live in the truth today. Help us to be people of integrity today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.